This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
Dynasty Happy Hour presents the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. Tim Torch and Dynasty Frank.
Welcome into the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. We are back again. This is episode 3. Today is August 9th as we're recording this, and there is actually a football game being played right now. Texans are taking on the Panthers, so if we miss something from that game, forgive us. It's going on right now. My name is Keaton. I'm joined again by my co-hosts, Tim Torch and Dynasty Frank are here. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, fellas? It's fun. Hey. What is this, 4-3? What episode did you say, Keaton?
This is the third one, I think. Did I miss one?
Wow.
It's three. It's supposed to be 4. The suit had to get an upgrade, but...
That's right,
we're,
yeah.
We're so, at number 3 right now.
We're yeah, to become a lawyer or something. I don't know.
I had to pass my suit certification course, and then we'll be good to go. So... I have this note, actually, speaking of being a suit, that was handed to me from corporate. So I got to read this little disclaimer before we get started tonight because...
Oh, I think I know what it is.
I heard something. So this episode contains harsh language and may not be suitable for all audiences. The opinions and beliefs expressed herein do not represent those of Fantasy Tilt or Dynasty Happy Hour. Listener discretion is advised.
Frank, well, I hope it does for Fantasy Tilt. I mean, we're the ones doing the podcast, so I think it may have to represent our feelings, but maybe not Dynasty Happy Hour.
Well, maybe not just this next section, because we usually do a tilt on you know, how we're feeling and what has us on tilt for the week, and I hear that Frank has quite a bit for us here.
Okay. Now, listen, I was angry earlier today, and I cannot believe that there are still people out there that love this Devin fucking Funchess. I don't understand. I do not. What does this guy have on everybody? On all his truthers. This guy sucks. I don't care what his wingspan is. I don't care about his height adjusted speed score on grass. I don't give a shit. I don't care. This guy sucks. I don't want to hear it anymore. There's people actually arguing. I feel like I'm arguing kickers again. Like kickers. There's another thing that bothers me, that pisses me off. People are dying on this kicker is good for fantasy, or if it's in the football game, it's in the game, it should be in fantasy. But they don't play IDP. Okay. I'm going to reel it in a little bit because you cannot I'm sorry. Listen, you cannot watch Devin Funchess and think that he's good at football. Hashtag good at football. You cannot. He sucks. This guy sucks. If he was not 6'4", whatever, and gone to Michigan, wherever, this guy is the worst. He sucks. And I've had enough. I've had enough with Funchess. I got to block that last name because just look him up. Just look up what he's done. Kelvin Benjamin sucks. Okay, everybody knows Kelvin Benjamin sucks. He's so inconsistent. He's his drop rate, this and that and this, whatever.
With Devin Funchess.
Exactly. It's Devin Funchess. It's Devin freaking Funchess. But Devin Funchess is great. Devin Funchess, I'm going to tell you know, like, Devin Funchess, this Devin Funchess, I got a feeling about him. Yeah, he sucks. Enough with this Devin Funchess. If you want to throw a flyer on him, it makes no sense to waste a pick on Devin Funchess. Oh, he's going to Ted Ginn Jr. Ted Ginn has given up however many freaking targets on the team. He's not Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn runs like a 4.340. He's an absolute speedster. Devin Funchess is not a speedster. He's a sucky Kelvin Benjamin.
That's probably about right. And while you're saying that, they're playing that preseason game. He's got one target. He caught it, at least, but for 4 yards.
Oh, that's, great.
That's his body of work today. So we'll hear about how he caught all of his targets and was going to be great in the preseason game.
I got one thing for him.
You blew it. All right, I'll ask the question because I want to know a little bit more. Because if you're saying Devin Funchess is bad. Fine. I don't disagree with the take. But I'll look back at last year with Cam Newton. Are you saying last year is the norm for him? Because if you're not saying
yes,
if you're saying Kelvin Benjamin isn't going to take a step forward, if you're saying Devin Funchess sucks, which again I don't disagree with, is Cam Newton better than he was last year?
No, I think the MVP year is the anomaly for Cam. It's the outlier for Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is he is who we thought he was.
I couldn't agree more. I think people need to realize this, and I'm 100% with you. I think they're trying to rein in Cam Newton. They're trying to bring his rushing down because they don't want him to take the hits. But is he that passer? Is he that drop back guy that's gonna tear up the field?
That's gonna
throw bombs to Curtis Samuel? That's gonna dump it off to Christian McCaffrey in the backfield?
Devin Funchess can get like 20 touchdowns. So, I mean, that's going to bring up Cam.
He can feed Greg Olsen. I'll give him that. He can feed Greg Olsen.
Yes, sure. He can. It's going to be. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is going to be more involved in this offense. It's going to be more of a run heavy offense or a swing pass. Or they got Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. I still don't think Devin Funchess is going to be anything more than he is. What, 430 yards? And three touchdowns. That's what I have, Devin. That's what I'm going to say. And if Devin Funchess goes nuts, then I'll come on here and I'll apologize to everyone and say, yeah, I was 100% wrong. But I'm about 99.999% positive that Devin Funchess sucks, and that's it. It's over. Kiaris GOAT. Kiaris Garrett. That's what I'm talking about. This is who we need. Yeah. Kiaris GOATed.
So,
is Cam Newton even throwing yet?
No, I don't think he is. He's not playing tonight.
So no. The swing pass that everyone wants to love of Christian McCaffrey on Twitter, it was thrown by Derek Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I don't have a bomb.
So the Devin Funchess hype, unfortunately, isn't going to go away because this is the people who are believing in third-year wide receivers, right? So that's the narrative this year.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Unfortunately, next year, he's in a contract year. So then we have to hear the whole, but he's in a contract year. He's going to be great.
Did you see his wingspan, though, bro?
Oh, dude, he's so young. He's gonna be.
He's real young too. Yeah. That's real young. Listen, so, in a redraft league with 25 rosters, every roster spot, and in a dynasty, yes, take a flyer or stash him. You have usually dynasty has larger rosters, so you can take a shot on one or two plays. But in a redraft league, even if he is the wide receiver one, how good is a Carolina wide receiver one? He's Kelvin Benjamin, basically, right?
Kelvin Benjamin's still there, so you have to worry about that.
Right, that's his ceiling. Why waste a valuable roster spot on a Devin Funchess in redraft? There's no – get a backup kicker. There you go.
So we kind of make light of our tilt situations and stuff, and you know we're going to keep that going. But one thing that you really want to avoid now that we're into draft season is being on tilt at your draft. So everybody has their own favorite, you know, pre-draft routine. You have superstitions or traditions or things. I kind of want to share one of mine. I think Tim's got one to share. Maybe we'll kind of do this every week. Maybe we'll come back to it if we think of some more that we can do. But the biggest thing for me is, one, you want to draft live in person, if at all possible, just because that is the best. You kind of get to feel the room. You kind of know what people are doing. You can kind of have those side conversations of what people are thinking about next round or whatever. That's obviously the great thing. If you can't do that, fine. But probably the most important thing is one, mock draft. You need to do at least a couple to get an idea of different scenarios and how things are going to play out. The second thing is just know your draft list. I know people who just print out their draft list and show up and ready to go, but you kind of need to know it. Like it should be there, you know, to cross off names or circle, highlight people, whatever, but you should know your list going into it, where players are, how many more rounds you think you can wait for this section of your list. You know, just be familiar. And that way, if something comes up and you are kind of blindsided by a pick or a run on a position, you're not completely out of sorts. You kind of have something that you're comfortable with that you can fall back on. So that for me is the biggest thing, is just familiarity with your list and draft in person, if at all possible.
Well, I was going to go a different direction. I was going to go with how I choose to mess with people
during
my drafts, because I love the head games. There's nothing I enjoy more than getting inside of someone else's head while we're drafting. So something I started doing a few years ago, I actually bought this big ass blinged out fantasy football championship ring. And I also have a belt that I wear, and I will take it to every draft that I go to.
That is fantastic.
Just so they know, maybe I didn't win that league, but I was a champion. They need to watch out for who is in the room right now. So then I take off the belt, I throw it over my shoulder, but I still have the ring on. And sometimes I'll even wear a hoodie, and I'll take off the hoodie, and underneath the hoodie is a shirt that says Fantasy Football Champion. I want them to know who they are dealing with.
That's great. I kind of do the same thing. I troll all my league mates. We usually have like a draft at my house, and we get a trophy every year. But if you win 3 years, so like your third trophy, you get a ring. So I won my third championship 2 years ago, and I had this iced out ring, and we did it out at a bar, actually. The first time we ever done it outside, not at my house, was we did it at the bar. I had people, strangers, coming up like, yo, what the hell is that thing? And I'm like, yo, this thing is goat, and I'm waving it around, and it's an auction league. So I'm like, and I'm the auctioneer. So I'm like, you know, 10 over here, 10 over here, and I had the ring. Like,
oh man.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, you want this for 10. You want, you know, whatever. Melvin Gordon, $10, $20, $25. And they're like, I hate you with that stupid ring. So I love the ring, Tim. I agree.
At work, I actually was invited into a league last year. I've only been at my job for almost a year now. And right after I started, a guy came up to me and asked if I wanted to take over a team. The league had already drafted. I took over a team that I didn't even draft. I took that pile of junk that someone drafted and ditched, and I won the championship. I took that ring. I actually have it sitting on my desk at work. Every morning when that guy has walked past my office, I put on the ring just so that he sees it when he's walking past my office every morning.
You're an alchemist. You took his piece of shit team and you made it into a championship ring.
It was junk. It was the worst team I have seen in my life. But I kicked that pile of junk right over the finish line, and I love nothing more than just putting that ring on and sticking out the fist every morning. Perfect way to start my day.
That's great. So we besides the, you know, our quick opening here, we do have quite a bit of stuff to get through today on the show. We're doing a AFC West and NFC West breakdown. We actually have a training camp report from the Raiders. Our Raiders correspondent went down there this week and took in a practice and made some notes and got those back to us. So we'll go through that when we get to the teams. But first, we're going to do the news and notes and everything that's going on, because, like I said, preseason games started today, and training camps have been rolling since the last time we spoke. So the first one, big news, this came out like right after we recorded. Maybe this was like Thursday last week. Quincy Enunwa is out for the season. Frank, what do you think about New York Jets? I know we were talking about them being garbage last week. Do you think this means anything?
He was the only one I wanted.
Yeah.
He was the only player. I was him and Matt Forte, where everybody can get Matt Forte later on. But he was the only wide receiver that I, and Ardarius Stewart, whatever, that I was looking forward to. And now it's this. This is the best thing to ever happen for the Jets and their fans. They cannot get any worse. And this is exactly what they need. They need to just blow it up and
that 101.
Yep, get that 101.
So I think that's probably about all that we needed to say on that, Tim, unless you really want to add something about the Jets.
I don't know how anyone could have any faith in this team. I looked back, and Josh McCown's been in the league since 2002. He's never played 16 games. So you're going to be relying on Christian Hackenberg or Bryce Petty at some point, but that's not a bet I take.
This next one's the other big story that came out last week. Ryan Tannehill is done for the season. Last Wednesday he had that awkward fall and the team was worried. He's actually done, and they were pretty quick to act and bring in somebody else. They brought in Jay Cutty. Jay Cutler is now playing for the Miami Dolphins, and this is a playoff team from last year. What do you guys think about this? Tim, we'll start with you.
I don't know what to think of it. I'm really excited for the prospects of JHIE. I think Jay Cutler's experience with Matt Forte may actually work in his favor, being able to dump off the ball pretty quickly. I'm excited for a guy like Devontae Parker, who they're not exactly the same, but is a physical freak type of guy, an athletic specimen in terms of being able to get downfield. And Kenny Stills, I think this hurts Jarvis Landry a ton. Personally, Jay Cutler has been known to feed his tight end, but that they do have Julius Thomas. I'm not sure where Jarvis Landry fits in.
I am really excited for the shakeup that it kind of gives, because I think that Cutler has a higher ceiling, but could also just be a complete disaster in Miami. And it's going to make good television one way or the other, because if there's two things that Jay Cutler can do, it's like take sacks and throw it really far.
And, so and one more. He hasn't played a full season since 2009. So
right. I know we're sacks that he takes.
I know we're excited to see Jay Cutler, but is he going to play a full season?
Sure. So I think that Kenny Stills is definitely interesting as the deep threat, because Cutler can chuck it. If Devontae Parker takes the next step, I think that he could be a good part of this offense. I do think that Jarvis Landry is not dead yet, though, because Eddie Royal made some noise for a couple seasons with Cutler. So he's shown that he can kind of hit that underneath slot guy. I think that Eddie Royal had like a 90 catch season, like an 85 catch season, and Landry's far and away a better talent than Eddie Royal is. So I'm not brushing him aside just yet. But I'm not really sure what to make of this passing game now.
I love Cutler's. He's the ultimate DGAF quarterback. If he could go out there with a cigarette lit, he would. I love Jay Cutler on other teams. I would hate him on my team. I want, you know, all the seriousness of Eli Manning. But I love this. I love Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker. Yes, if anyone gets to hit, it's Landry. But like you said, Keaton, I think I kind of like this. I think Cutler's better than Tannehill. There you go. Bang.
I think it's interesting, like, for sure.
I think he's gonna do better fantasy wise, not NFL wise. Fantasy wise, I think Cutler's gonna be better.
Nice. So we have a few other injuries. I'll kind of go through these real quick because they're kind of minor nicks and cuts, and one of them the team doesn't seem to be too worried about. So we have Josh Doctson, Jameson Crowder, and Curtis Samuel are all dealing with hamstring injuries. I mean, this is sort of in vogue this time of year to have soft tissue hamstring injuries, calf tightness, things like that. So I'm not terribly concerned about those. The one that did catch my eye a little bit more was Travis Kelce has some swelling in his knee and hasn't practiced this week.
Be worried.
You're worried about that one?
Only going back to when he was coming out of college, he had microfracture surgery. And I don't want people to forget about that. Microfracture surgery comes back to bite people in the butt at the worst times. I'm not saying pick him up, but Demetrius Harris is a guy who has flashed before and may be worth a kind of a waiver wire speed dial type of guy.
Frank, you worried about Zeus?
Not right now. If it lasts longer, then yes. I mean, he's their only offense. Him and Tyreek, the freak. But yes, I would be worried if Travis Kelce continues to miss time. Yeah.
I would certainly like to see him take some snaps in a preseason game before I draft, but I don't know that the team's going to do that. They might just take it easy with him and shut him down until week one, which is going to put people in some tough spots deciding whether or not to take Kelce. And it's just one more tight end at the tight end position that's got an injury risk or something going on where you have, you know, Gronk's, they're taking it slow with Gronk. Reed's been sitting out. Eifert's always a guy that you got to worry about. And it's just going to be another gross year drafting tight ends, I think, if this Kelce thing becomes a problem. Basically, take Greg Olsen if you don't want a tight end that's hurt, because he's the only one that you can seems like you can trust. Speaking of things you can trust, Eddie Lacy.
Yes.
Making weight again. He's like got, this is the third one in a row. He's under 250 pounds.
Telling you. I'm loving this. I'm
under 250 pounds. Someone needs to pay my ass.
Wouldn't that be great if somebody just offered? I mean, he's getting what, $55,000 every time he drops like 5 pounds?
Yep.
Is he?
Man. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'd be on a treadmill till next week.
This man, guy's got some agent. He's like, but I love China food. Don't we all, Eddie? Don't we all? But 55,000? Did you 55,000 to lose 5 pounds?
Yes. Yeah.
That's insane.
And he's been picking that up. It's like monthly weigh-ins or every couple weeks or whatever it is. This last one had people worried because they were kind of quiet about it instead of coming out and celebrating that he had made weight again like they had been doing. But it turns out he did make it again. I think he's got one more, and then there's like another one like midway through the season. So if he makes this, makes the next one, that'll be definitely good news there. The other bizarre story from camp that I saw was so Brandon Albert, the tackle, was traded to the Jaguars, then said he wanted to retire. So the team said, fine, pay us back the signing bonus. And he said, well, maybe I'll play again. And now the team's placed him on a NFL retired list. So what do you guys think about Brandon Albert? Is he going to play for the Jaguars or play again?
They need something. I hope he plays because something is better than nothing for this team. Their offensive line, Luke Jokel was a Jokel. Was a joke.
Oh, I know.
I know people don't like Cam Robinson on the left side, but it works. He at least is a run blocker, and that's what this team wants to do. Sure, if he's on pass protection, you're going to need to put someone over on the left side to help him out. But this team wants to run the ball. If that's all he's really being asked to do and they give him help otherwise, that's fine.
That's the thing for me is Brandon Albert is part of this, you know, Tom Coughlin reshaping the Jaguars. I mean, this smash mouth running team, and you already start losing offensive linemen from what your planning starting five was. I start to worry a little bit if this team's really going to be able to get it done. And obviously you have to count on the defense being able to pull their weight too. But it would have been nice to see Albert, who when healthy and playing has been pretty good in the league. So that would definitely help Fournette and, you know, any other running backs they give touches to. The next bit of news is Anquan Boldin signing with Buffalo. This one I think is pretty interesting, especially, you know, Buffalo gets cold and the winds pick up there, and having that reliable possession receiver, if Anquan's got another season in him, I think it could be interesting. Frank, you're nodding. What do you think?
Yeah, he's their wide receiver one now. I'm not a Sammy Watkins truther. Yes. I don't know. I heard him say that he was looking for a championship. He's looking to win a championship.
Didn't find it in Buffalo.
You don't go to Buffalo for that. I mean, but yes, he will be a late round target player of mine. If anybody's getting targets, it's going to be him. He works. He's a fearless pros pro wide receiver. He's not afraid to go over the middle and get jaw like shattered and then come back next week and play again. The guy's one of the toughest wide receivers ever. So, yes, I'm definitely targeting. Because, again, it's Sammy Watkins. It's him. Did Zay Jones miss some time?
He's
still missing time, right? So, who's the wide receiver? I don't even know who their tight end is. Do they have a tight end? Charles Clay? Is he still there? I mean,
it's still Charles Clay.
They actually have
a beat reporter came out this week and said that he wouldn't be surprised if LeSean McCoy leads the team in receptions.
Yes. Why wouldn't they?
That might just be a throwaway line, but it's starting to seem like, I mean, that could happen.
Of course.
Who wins in a race, Anquan Boldin or Jason Witten?
Oh,
yeah, it's still Boldin. He used to be able to move pretty good. I don't know if he's got the wheels still, but he used to get around. Speaking of wheels, Martavis Bryant has been cleared for all preseason activities and practicing, but he has not yet fully been reinstated. Assuming he has to meet some checkpoints or things along the line before the NFL completely signs off, but they are really dragging this guy along and delaying his reinstatement. You guys excited about Martavis Bryant?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hells yeah.
How are you not nervous? I'm so nervous. I took him in a couple best ball leagues, but other than that, I just don't know how you can make the investment in Martavis Bryant and feel comfortable about it at all, especially with where he's going. And if someone could pull up the ADP on him really quick while I'm rambling. 412.
Yeah, last pick.
I'm the type of guy that likes to go running back really heavy to start my draft. And usually at that point, I'm usually taking running back. If Gronk's still there in the third, I'll take him there. But if you're talking about Bryant as my wide receiver one, I can't do it.
No, definitely not. And the thing with Bryant is people are kind of chalking it up as if he's not suspended, he's going to be amazing. But it's not like we have a huge sample size on Martavis Bryant to begin with. He was kind of – he had some big games, but I still think that there's risk there, even if he's not suspended, on the price that you're paying for him, because he needs to hit and not be suspended to pay back on that fourth-round price. And like you're saying, I mean, it just makes me a little nervous. I'd rather wait and see if he slides a little bit, but I definitely won't be taking
that.
He's
not going to slide. He's just going to keep going more. He's going to keep climbing this ADP. You got to remember, scared money don't make money. So sometimes you got to take a chance, take a risk, especially in redraft. Sometimes you do. I mean, you can go for the – like Danny Woodhead is going 407. Like, I get it. Everybody loves Danny Woodhead. But – and we – like we brought up – was it last week? That it's this is the year that he's supposed to go crazy, right? He goes off and on, off and on.
So oh, yeah, every other year. Crazy.
But I mean, like Golden Tate is going around there. Michael Crabtree, Carlos Hyde, Jarvis Landry, Dalvin Cook, Tyreek Hill. Like, I know everybody loves Tyreek Hill, but now that he's not punt returning and kick returning, he's not playing special teams. He's only going to be a wide receiver. I think his value takes a hit there, and that's just me. I rather have Martavis Bryant than Tyreek Hill. That's just me, though. I'm excited about Martavis Bryant. I love the alien.
I heard somebody say today that those are the rounds where you got to risk it. You got to get your guys. I think a footballer said that yesterday or today or whatever it was, that, you know, you get in rounds 3 through 5 and that's where you make your money. I mean, you got to hit those picks. You got to get your guys. And if Martavis is your guy, more power to you.
I don't want to be 8-8 or whatever, the 7-7.
I'm not going 7-9 again. I'm not going 8-8 or 9-7 or 10-6. This is a championship team.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jeff.
Happy belated Jeff Fisher Day, everyone.
That's right.
Was
yesterday. So before we get into the divisional breakdown, I've got a word from our sponsors again, the Sit or Start app. Now, some more exciting news about the Sit or Start app is they are actually going to be giving away NFL tickets this season. When they get to 10,000 users on the app, they're going to give away NFL tickets to a game of your choice. You'll get 2 NFL tickets. So the trick with this is you download the app, and if you use the referral code TILT, you actually get double entries into this
boom
raffle. I mean, that's amazing. So you can, you know, win your fantasy leagues, make your fantasy playoffs, and then celebrate by going to an NFL game because you use your Sit or Start app to get you there.
Does it include an NFL game? It doesn't include the Super Bowl, does it?
No, I'm sure it's not a Super Bowl. It's a regular season game. So. But if you go, you know, if you make the playoffs week 13, you can go watch the team that you need. If you got Big Ben and Antonio Brown on your team, go see a Steelers game the end of the year and cheer on your guys through your
Martavis Bryant.
Yeah. So the Sit or Start app, guys, I mean, if you don't already have it, you're missing out. It's great. It's got player comparisons, side by sides. You can get all your news and notes through there, podcasts. And you're also going to get the DFS content. They have FanDuel, DraftKings, everything like that set up in there. It's a great app. Sit or Start app. Sit or Start app on Twitter. Check them out. Thanks for sponsoring the show. So the divisional breakdown, we're going to go through again like we've been doing, kind of the same format. We'll do the biggest story from each team, and we'll just work our way through, starting with the AFC West. Tim, what's the biggest story for you for the Broncos?
Who's rushing the ball? CJ Anderson. Devontae. We know Devontae Booker's out. Jamal Charles, he's going to be lucky to get 10 touches a game. D'Angelo Henderson, can this rushing game get something going? The passing attack it's Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. So show who else is going to show up for this team.
Yeah, it's definitely a consolidated offense. When you look at it, I mean, they're not getting production from the tight end position. It's just been those two wide receivers and the starting running back, and you know, maybe there's another guy that chips in, and if healthy, it'll be Jamal Charles. I do think that Henderson is interesting. He's kind of been gaining some hype as we go through camps, and you start hearing more whispers about he's showing good things. Maybe he could be an effective change of pace guy and play a role for that team. So I think he's definitely interesting. Frank, how about you?
Obviously it's who's running, but if we're gonna take bets, it's gonna be CJ Anderson.
Yeah,
I want to know who the hell is passing the ball, because Trevor Siemian last year was atrocious. And if I'm not mistaken, they kind of said that he's going to start, or at least a first preseason game, and see what they don't like Paxton Lynch. And I don't know who the hell is going to start this for this team, but they need they need to succeed. I want Demaryius Thomas. I have plenty of Demaryius Thomas, plenty of Manny Sanders, and I know Demaryius Thomas gets his 1,000 yards every year or close to it at least, but this Trevor Siemian or whoever, again, is going to be the quarterback, needs to step up, because if any defensive coordinator knows, all I got to do is stop the run and have this guy, this jag, this player, throw the ball. I mean, he had 3,401 yards on 486 attempts, 18 touchdowns, 10 picks. It's just, man, he's like a Brock Osweiler almost. This is Brock Osweiler-ish, and it's just disgusting. So that's what I'm – and they faced the 23rd easiest schedule for quarterbacks. Imagine if they had a legit or halfway decent quarterback, what this team could do.
But I think that's what really held back Siemian last year, though, too, is this team. This is a team that couldn't run the ball. When Anderson went down, they were struggling to find an option and run the ball effectively. So that wasn't helping Siemian, who's a young quarterback himself, any at all. But I do think that the ceiling for Lynch is higher, but it's all potential. We haven't seen it at this point. So I do think what you said, I think that they're starting Siemian week one, and then they're supposed to be giving Lynch the start in week two. That was the last that I heard. I don't know if they're going to back off that or not. But John Elway has been pretty stout in saying that they're not bringing in help. They're going to go with the guys they have. So it's just going to be Lynch and Siemian, and they're going to ride it out, which is unfortunate, I guess.
Good luck.
Moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers. To me, it's the injuries that are already hitting this team again. Is there something else that stands out to you guys besides the Mike Williams and losing their second round draft pick Lamp?
No, this team is snake bitten. They went from the fourth most injured team in the NFL in 2015 to the second most injured team last year. They cannot catch a break. And again, Mike Williams and Forrest Lamp, who was projected to be a starting guard for their offensive line, it's just, it does not help. Obviously, I mean, they do have Terrell Williams. I'm a huge Terrell Williams truther, homer. I love this kid. If Keenan Allen is healthy, they use some more Hunter Henry instead of get Antonio Gates his one touchdown so he can beat, you know, Tony Gonzalez for all-time leading touchdown for a tight end, whatever, and then continue feeding Hunter Henry, because he was, you know, let's just face it, he was much more efficient than Antonio Gates was, much better. So I think they can handle the loss of Mike Williams. But they cannot handle another loss. I need Keenan Allen to stay healthy, and I think he's going to stay healthy. I'm hoping he stays healthy.
Please stay healthy, Keenan Allen.
I think they can, you know, they can weather this storm. But that's my biggest concern is injuries.
Yeah, the thing for me too. I mean, you look at the depth too, because if something happens to Melvin Gordon, that's the injury that will just completely derail the season. I don't think that. I mean, Oliver's been good in spots. He's not a guy that's going to be able to carry the load. And
you're not a Kenneth Farrow fan?
No, I'm definitely not a Kenneth Farrow fan. You're talking about Jags. That guy is a Jag.
Yes.
I mean, he can pass block, I guess. And that's that's about all he offers. I'm not excited about anybody on that depth chart besides Melvin Gordon. Tim, did you have anything about the Chargers?
Yeah, I guess we're talking about Tygo a lot right now, right?
Yes. Yes, great.
I'm with you guys. I was actually looking at Pro Football Focus. They had Los Angeles Chargers offensive line already ranked at 21, and that was with Forrest Lamp. So you can only imagine where that's going to put them after that injury. So what does that mean? The only other question I'll ask, can Melvin Gordon hold up for the full season? I love him. He's a guy I'm willing to take the chance on with a first-round pick or beginning of the second round. I think he has all the opportunity in the world. He's a good quarterback, plenty of weapons to take pressure off of him, a quarterback that likes to throw the ball to him in the flat, and he has plenty of opportunity pounding it up the middle. I still like Melvin Gordon, but I'm getting concerned. This offensive line, you said just the skill positions, but you mentioned Forrest Lamp. This team has always had problems with just keeping the offensive line healthy. I hope they don't go through any more injuries.
Yeah, I mean, with the relocation too, I mean, it's obviously teams that are on different trajectories, but you saw the Rams last year, and it was you could tell that it was taking its toll on that team, having to do live through the relocations and constant moving around and stuff. It's hard to get in routine, and maybe some of their conditioning and, you know, their training falls off because of that. But hopefully that's not the case. And this is a team that, you know, with Rivers, their window is probably closing. I mean, they need to get some wins and some winning seasons. There's no excuse for this team to be another 4 or 5 win team, whatever it was, and losing to the Browns. That just can't happen again.
Yeah, but the Chargers are a much more talented team.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. As long as everybody's healthy, they are.
Yes, right.
So the Chiefs are the next team on our list here. We kind of talked a little bit about them. I think it was last week. We were kind of talking about where and you know, what we think about that backfield. But is there anything – we talked about Tyreek Hill earlier too. Is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce the only passing options on this team that you really care about? No Albert fans?
No. Yes, those are the only two. I'm not gonna get cute in redraft. You don't get cute
definitely.
No, maybe I'm not going that wire. Deep.
What's that, Tim?
I'm not going that deep for the Chiefs. No, if Chris Conley wants to show something, he can. But he's never really shown those traits we saw from the draft really during a game. So I'm staying far, far away.
Yeah, I'd be more interested if Pat Mahomes was the quarterback.
Oh, yes. Conley.
You know, I'd be like, oh, maybe Chris Conley, Pat Mahomes loves to air it out. But Alex Smith, I mean, the Chiefs are the most boring 12-4 team to ever play. I mean, and they play solid fundamental football. They turn you over. They score on special teams. And the offense doesn't lose games. That's it. That's it. They're just a turnover margin machine, and everybody knows, or you know, you hear it's like 80%. You win the turnover game, you win. You have an 80% more like a chance to win.
Yeah, and Alex Smith does not turn the ball over, and the defense takes it away. So everybody, you know, from the fantasy community, we're all excited about Mahomes because of the, you know, the different dimension he would bring to that offense. But we don't really think that's what's best for the team at this point, do we?
No.
Still the Alex Smith show.
He needs a year. And yeah. I think everyone should know, Keen, we'll start with you. What's your thought on Spencer Ware? Is he getting turned around? Is he getting replaced week 4 or 5, or yep. Is he the guy?
Oh. I don't think he'll get replaced. I think that he may start losing work to Hunt. Hunt looks really good, and I'm not, you know, a big into college football or anything, but what I've seen of Hunt, I mean, his balance and his agility, I know he doesn't have the biggest, you know, the highest top speed or anything like that, but the guy's quick and can make plays. And I think that he's going to start eating into Ware's workload. This team has shown a willingness to even give, you know, Sharkhandrick West work in the past to spell Ware. So I think that it will be a two-headed attack, but I think that it will be Hunt and Ware, obviously, and not Sharkhandrick West.
I totally agree with you, Keen. Totally.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Hunt. I'm looking forward to this Hunt and Mahomes. I'm looking forward to this offense transitioning to a really good offense. Hopefully.
So the next team here is the one we sent our Raiders correspondent to, the Oakland Raiders, down there at their training camp in Napa. Julio went down there and got me some information and the inside scoop on what was going on. I haven't shared this with you guys yet, so this will be your first impressions. So
Julio?
Yeah, his name's Julio.
So
I was like, Julio, you got to go down to Raiders camp and get me the scoop here. So Amari Cooper has been missing practice. The report on RotoWorld was that he's missed 5 straight and 6 of the last 7. He was actually a limited participant in Tuesday's practice. He was out there, caught a few passes, and didn't appear to be injured, but it seems like the team is taking it easy on him, calling it maybe a leg injury is what the guesses are coming out of camp. So they're taking it easy. I'm not too concerned with Cooper yet, but in his absence, Crabtree looked like a true one at their practices. Saw a ton of action, just really looked like he could be the number one receiver on this team. And I think people need to stop being surprised that Crabtree is a good receiver and better than Amari Cooper on this team. He was drafted in the first round. Everybody thought the Raiders should have picked him when they picked Darius Heyward-Bey at top 10 or whatever that was.
8, I think.
He's a high-profile, high-pedigree wide receiver, and people need to stop being surprised that Crabtree's a thing, that he's good, because he's got a good quarterback. And yeah, just trust in Crabtree whether Cooper's there or not.
He's pretty much in a contract year right now too. After 2017, there's zero dead money to drop Michael Crabtree. for the Raiders. So people need to remember this isn't just, hey, him doing what he does. He's in a contract year if he wants to stick around with the Raiders or even get a better deal.
So the first part of the news on the tight end for Jared Cook isn't really news, that he is a big, big person. Jared Cook is huge. But the interesting thing is how much work he saw. Apparently, he just saw a ton of work in the passing game. He was targeted a lot and caught everything that was thrown in his direction. And this isn't something we've seen from the Raiders in recent years since basically Zach Miller left. When was that? 2010. We haven't really seen them get a use out of a stud tight end. And I think that's pretty exciting if Jared Cook can come in there and make some noise. I don't want to get people excited again because – Jared Cook's that guy that you get excited about, and then he just shits all over you when you try to start him week one.
He's like the original Ladarius Green.
Exactly. That guy. He's always let people down, but he's always hanging around and starts to build that buzz. So maybe he's just doing it to us again, making himself look good in the preseason, and then, you know, we'll regret drafting him. Seth Roberts also saw some looks with the absence of Cooper. He was getting work as the two in with the first team offense. And Seth Roberts had a rough day, at least on Tuesday, dropped a lot of passes. He was really struggling to work there. So perhaps he won't see the same number of red zone targets he got last year, and those start going more towards Cooper and Crabtree. So that would be good there. Looking down a little further at the running backs.
Yes.
Marshawn Lynch, we were talking about him. We spent a lot of time in our first episode talking about Marshawn Lynch.
Looks like duty.
He is apparently a beast.
A beast.
But did not partake in the running back receiving drills at all. Did not catch a single pass all day.
And no, he doesn't.
Just used as a runner. So he looked good as a runner. He was doing some pass blocking drills, but he did not catch a pass all day. They weren't even trying to throw it to him. So I think that's kind of lends what we can expect from this team. They do have Jalen Richard and Washington there to kind of handle that passing down work, and maybe that saves Lynch and the team can preserve him a little bit more to be that thumper that they need, you know, pounding him up in the middle. So I think this team's really going to be trying to do.
Should be pointed out DeAndre Washington's running as the two right now. So even if we do think that Lynch gets the job, whatever your stance is on handcuffs, he'd be handcuffs. He'd definitely be a guy that I would still target late in your drafts.
And more of a, maybe not a redraft option, but Elijah Hood has apparently looked pretty good in camp as well. He's running well. So I think that actually if Lynch went down, I don't think that Washington is just going to step in and take over the load. And it didn't seem like that would be the case at practice, that Hood can get in there and be a capable big back for that offense, at least take over the short yardage work when something happens to Marshawn Lynch.
Don't say that. No.
All right. So while we're talking about the running backs, is there anything else for the Raiders? I know that was just kind of the training camp rundown, but is there an issue with this team or something that you guys are looking to see going into the season?
No. Draft Crabtree at 410 where he's going instead of Amari Cooper at 205. That's all
Instead of Martavis Bryant.
Instead of Martavis Bryant in the fourth round. Yes, for sure.
I will agree with you. That's definitely. I mean, you got Crabtree getting 22 targets last year in the red zone targets to Amari Cooper's 13. So, you want Crabtree, especially in redraft.
This guy is good and is the number one wide receiver on this team, guys. Stop acting like Crabtree isn't.
Amari Cooper's 22 years old, dude.
Oh, gosh. That's the Funches argument. He's 22 years old. He's got to be good, right?
He's got to. No, listen, Amari Cooper is great. Amari Cooper is great, but if you can get equal value two rounds later in your redraft, in your redraft leagues, obviously, you need to do that. That's just me. Never mind. Do what you want, but that's what I'm going to do.
All right, quick question, Keen, for you. Alshon Jeffrey or Michael Crabtree?
Crabtree.
Jarvis Landry or Michael Crabtree?
Oh, I love Landry so much with Tannehill. Love Landry. Right now, until I see Landry and Cutler work together, it's going to be Crabtree.
This is full PPR.
Full PPR.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams or Michael Crabtree?
Devontae Adams is not hashtag good at football. Can we stop?
I'm going Adams.
No, he's not good. Devontae Adams is not good. I wrote an article for the Fantasy Footballers where I had to watch tape on Devontae Adams. He's obviously on a good team.
That's the only thing. I mean, if he was on Carolina, I would not say Davante Adams.
But Crabtree's on a good team, too, and I think he's got a less crowded passing attack. I think that Crabtree is just a better receiver than Adams is.
Cheap plug, I will say I read your Zach Ertz article today on fantasyfootballers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Very good article. I enjoyed it. It swayed me slightly. I felt
he's coming aboard.
I felt a shift in the force. So very good. I highly recommend everyone to check out fantasyfootballers.com and check out Keaton's most recent article on Zach Ertz.
Thank you very much for that, Tim. That is not the reaction that I got on my Twitter feed today
from that article. Oh, no.
People just hate Ertz and now hate me by associating myself with Zach Ertz.
Isn't it the worst?
I think that people people feel like they've been burned by him because they're saying that he underachieved or let him down last year. But last year he was drafted as the number 9 tight end and he finished as the number 6.
Nah,
I don't know what you were expecting.
Before. I think it was the year before he was getting touted like as a top 5, top 4 tight end, and then, you know, he shit the bed.
See, this is the gravity. Just I always get pulled back to Ertz. We're not even talking about the Eagles or the NFC East, but like I love Zach Ertz.
You always get pulled down to Ertz.
Is that he always pulls me down to his level, and I like we said last week, I got to drink the Kool-Aid on Ertz. So hey, for last thing for the AFC West before we move on, which team in this division do you guys think has the best stable of running backs, top to bottom?
Oakland for me. Just because that offensive line is a top 5, top 3 offensive line. They got a good quarterback with a passing game that defenses can't crowd the box, and you have beast mode. So I'm saying Oakland.
Well, I would say Oakland. But
so all things being equal, though, if you could take any set of those running backs and put them on Oakland's offense, is it still Oakland running backs?
Chiefs.
Yeah.
I like the Chiefs guys better.
I want Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt on Oakland. That's what I – oh, that would be –
That's what I was trying to get at is if you isolated like just the running back position, because in my mind, Melvin Gordon is the best running back in the division. But if you compare Ware and Hunt, I think that's enough to become better. You know,
I mean, yeah, if Melvin Gordon was on Oakland, of course. But my mind didn't go there because I just want the Kareem Hunt to I want to see Kareem Hunt. And I think he's going to be a beast. So.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So moving on to the NFC West, the Cardinals are the first team on our list. We're just going alphabetical through these. Biggest issue or thing that you want to see from the Cardinals going into this season? Frank?
I want to see if they have a wide receiver too. I want to see them not rely so much on David Johnson, his 413 total touches. I'm hoping they don't continue to do that. Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer, they're old. You know what I mean? They're getting old. Larry Fitzgerald is not the player he is. John Brown last year had a litany of injuries, the sickle cell trait, and a concussion in training camp. J.J. Nelson is just J.J. Nelson. They did draft a rookie that I'm kind of excited about, Chad Williams, but that's – I don't know if he's going to do anything now this year. But that's what I'm looking for. That's my concern. My biggest concern for Arizona is there anybody besides David Johnson really on that offense that I'm gonna rely on?
Frank, you and I have never talked before we started doing this podcast. But you and I mean, we have a thing right now. Next week I'll get my camera going. So because I'm doing the thing, doing the thing with my fingers, like we're on the same page, man. I need something from this offense to be more than David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. Those two guys can't carry this offense. That team, yes, they did great for fantasy football, and Larry Fitzgerald will probably put up 100 plus targets into his 40s if he chooses to play that long. But it's not sustainable. Carson Palmer showed he can't take that type of beating and feed his weapons like that. John Brown needs to get healthy. Jerron Brown needs to get healthy. JJ, they need something. I don't care what it is. Something needs to give. And I'm concerned about David Johnson and his workload from last year.
Right.
He had 370-plus touches last year. Think about how many hits he had to have taken. something has to give for this team. They need something somewhere else.
Yeah, if they're going to continue to refuse to use their tight end effectively for real life and fantasy purposes, somebody else is going to have to step up on this team. I will say that Chad Williams, I know that they're saying he's been a little bit slower to pick it up in camp, but when they played that first Hall of Fame game, he was out on the field and he was run blocking, you know, enthusiastically run blocking, I think is what you want to say about that. And he was doing it well. So I think that he's going to be on the field for a team that probably needs to run the ball. I know that you don't want to give David Johnson, you know, you don't want to run completely into the ground, but this team needs to run the ball to take some pressure off of Carson Palmer and this passing game. That's probably, this is their last ride. I think that this is the Cardinals' last ride and Fitzgerald and Palmer are going to be done, whether or not it's a effective season for them or not.
My wife says I do a lot of things enthusiastically, but just because I do them enthusiastically doesn't mean I do them good.
Doesn't mean you're good at them.
Oh God, that can go so many ways. I can work with that, but I won't.
We're already explicit, I think, on the rating today. So Frank, if you want to dive in on that one, go for it. But the reason I'm talking about Chad Williams is that the receivers on that team are small, to say the least. If you look at like J.J. Nelson and John Brown, these guys are not going to be effective run blockers because they're smaller than any defensive back the other team's going to run out there, not to mention linebackers and everything else. But Chad Williams is a big guy. He's got the frame to get in there and block. So if he's got opportunities to be on the field, especially you know on those drives where they don't have an opportunity to make a bunch of subs or if there are injuries, I think that Chad Williams is going to see some opportunities. Maybe not make noise for redraft for this season, but going into next year, especially if Fitzgerald's gone, I think that Chad Williams can be somebody to keep in mind. And that's something you want to just tuck away in the back of your mind for going into drafts next year. Just watch Chad Williams and see what he does.
Absolutely.
On to the 49ers. This is the hot topic. It's the Kyle Shanahan show rolling into town for the 49ers. And people either love it or hate it. Just think this team's going to be terrible again, or Kyle Shanahan's going to write it and save the day. Where do you come down on that, Tim?
I hope he is. I hope he's as creative as they say is, because it's Pierre Garçon, maybe Vance McDonald, George Kittle, and Carlos Hyde. What else? I actually, in the Scott Fishbowl, I did put a token down on Jeremy Curley just in case something happened to Pierre Garçon before the start of the season. Brian Hoyer was so efficient last year when he was with the Bears, and I was excited to see if they were going to add additional weapons in their wide receiver core for him. They've done nothing to really help him out. I'm not sure how much you can really expect from him or the weapons outside of Pierre Garçon this year.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be a Garçon show passing, just like, you know, everybody talks about the last time Garçon and Shanahan were together. How many targets did he have?
180,
something crazy, yeah. Right? Carlos Hyde is going nuts in training camp. He's running over rookies and destroying people. Nothing but good news has come out for Carlos Hyde. He faced the third hardest run schedule last year, and he still had a 4.6 yards per carry and a league-leading 5.8 yards per carry on first and 10. This guy, I don't understand why everybody hates this guy. It boggles my mind. Kyle Shanahan is, I know, like the new in vogue thing now is to bash offensive coordinators for some reason and say like there's no correlation or talented players are better. They get, you know, they produce more because they're just talented. They're more talented than everybody. There's obviously a line in my mind between Kyle Shanahan and productive running backs and wide receiver ones. Right, they get the targets. They get. I want all the Garçons, and I want all the Carlos Hydes, or whoever's running back one. So now, let's say Joe Williams is going to get that Tevin Coleman role. Carlos Hyde is still going to get 60% of the touches. Let's just say he gets a Devontae Freeman share. I still want Carlos Hyde. Yes, I'll take Joe Williams or Tim Hightower later on, especially in best balls. But I think Carlos Hyde, I want Carlos Hyde, I love Carlos Hyde, and Pierre Garçon. Exactly what Tim was saying.
I think you're on something there with Kyle Shanahan, because it's not like we're just hoping that he's going to be good with running backs. This is the guy that took Alfred Morris and made him into a 1,600-yard rusher. And what is Alfred Morris doing now with the Cowboys, who have the best offensive line in the league by many accounts? And Alfred Morris can't even get on the third team running backs. He's just like just the Jag, if not worse. And he was a stud in Kyle Shanahan's system. And I think that Carlos Hyde has the talent and then the tools to really, really make some noise. The other name that we didn't bring up that I think is interesting is Marquise Goodwin. Because you see these speedy receivers have some big games in a Shanahan offense. So if you're in any sort of a big play league or a best ball, I think that Goodwin is an interesting late round. Just stick him on the end of your bench in case you need him. Because sometimes, you know, if you hit those bye weeks or injuries, you just need that home run guy that can get you that 60-yard touchdown and just make the day for you. And I think that Goodwin is that guy on a team that is probably going to have to throw a fair amount. So I think that's interesting there just to keep in mind. He was a track star, and he's got wheels. He's fast for sure.
Yeah. My concern is can Hoyer hit him deep? You know what I mean? He's usually a short to intermediate a quarterback. But yeah, I mean, in a best ball league, of course, Marquise Goodwin, why not?
Definitely, definitely. Going up north to the Seahawks, what's the biggest news? We talked about Eddie Lacy in this backfield a little bit. Is that the biggest storyline going into this year?
For me, it is. I need to see Eddie Lacy. I kind of believe in him. I believe in Seattle, even though that offensive line, you know, I'm hoping. I'm about 70% optimistic that Eddie Lacy can be better. Can reach his first year in Green Bay numbers.
Yeah, Thomas Ross is getting first team carries right now.
Oh no! He's running with the ones.
No.
He's running with the. I saw it today. He is.
That means nothing.
I don't know where to go. I think what I'm saying is just exaggerating your point. This backfield is so volatile right now. Eddie Lacy, I wouldn't mind putting a dollar down on him. Thomas Rawls, as late as he's going, I wouldn't mind going that direction either. Tyler's boy, CJ Procise, I'm sure he'll take a hit with his baby hands and he'll end up being out for the season again, but
No. Bring up that goat drop. Where's the goat drop for goat size?
Oh, come on.
I'm pretty sure at some point I will own a running back from this team just because I don't think that the three guys obviously don't have a track record of playing 16 games. And at some point there's going to be a last man standing scenario in Seattle. And I think that that's really interesting, whether it's Rawls or it's Lacy or it's Procise.
Alex Collins.
Or,
imagine.
Eight and a half inch hands. CJ Procise.
But he used to be a receiver, so he can catch the ball, right? Isn't that how that works?
Baby, we call
it 7-3-2 shuttle. Or, I'm sorry, 3-cone drill. That is terrible. That is the worst. I don't know why he's... Oh,
but when he plays, and you've seen him, he's looked well. He looked great. A couple of times that I saw.
He was so good for like six quarters last season. And I extrapolate that over a whole season.
Why? We're doing that with Amir Abdullah. Why not? He had two great games. We're going to extrapolate that to 16 games, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know?
So you know what? I'm going to take that one big catch that CJ Procise had, and I'm going to extrapolate that for the whole season.
Yeah,
he's going to have 800 catches, and he's going to have 20 million yards.
No. He's going to have 16 catches for 20,000 yards.
There you go.
This seems reasonable. I don't see the problem in this. He's my 101. Move aside David Johnson. We're getting the real best running back in the NFC West.
CJ Goat Size. I wish I had a toilet drop.
Speaking of toilet drops, the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to give you that. That was good. That was good, Keaton.
Thank you.
Speaking of toilet drops.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this team can't be worse, can they?
No. I think McVay's going to change some stuff. That's a great defense. Excuse me. I mean, Wade Phillips, right? He's the defensive coordinator now, and he's got Aaron Donald, Alec Ogletree, Robert Quinn. That defense is just a beast. I'm thinking they're going to keep them in the games. So as long as the offense and Goff and Gurley and Tavon Austin, their offense is just disgusting, if we're being honest, right? Their defense is goat as AF, but their offense is whack.
I saw something, and I didn't check this or confirm it, but I saw that the Tavon Austin and Robert Woods duo is the highest paid duo of wide receivers in the NFL.
Oh my god!
If that's true, that is disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Sickening.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's just I think I like Robert Woods. I'm holding out some hope that he can be useful at least in PPR leagues. He had some games, you know, if he gets five catches a game or something, you know, he can have weeks where you can use him as a flex or something. But I just, yeah, I'm not excited about this team. I mean, if Todd Gurley was miserable again, it wouldn't surprise me. And everybody says lines like that wouldn't surprise me, wouldn't shock me, whatever. But I think that unless Gurley just beasts and takes this offense, you know, on his back and carries him, I'm not seeing the upside here at all.
Yeah, I just can't see how Gurley can do that in my mind. I mean, they have – I mean, PFF ranks their offensive line 18th overall, right?
Yeah.
They have – like you said, they have Austin, Robert Woods. They don't have – at least last year they had Kenny Britt. He was their wide receiver one, and he produced. Everybody's a Kenny Britt fan. But this year, what do they have? Maybe their tight end. Is it Higbee? Is it – oh my lord, the rookie they just drafted.
Everett, right? Yes. Is it Gerald Everett?
Yes. I mean, I rumor was that McVay said they goes my Jordan Reed. Is that what if he said that, then okay, yes, maybe throw take a late round flyer, throw $1 auction.
Public service announcement, do not draft a rookie tight end anywhere in redraft. Do not do that. Watch him. If he does something, if he pops, maybe you can pick him up off waivers. Do not draft a rookie tight end, especially one that plays for the Rams.
Yes, right. Next year we're going to be telling you, watch this Everett. But you know, maybe Higbee. I don't know. Stay away from this offense. I am not drafting Todd Gurley this year. Not at all. At all. I don't care where he's going. But he's probably going in the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's right at the back. I think he might actually be like middle to late second round. I think it was like 208 last time I looked at it. No. Tim, you excited about the Rams?
Todd Gurley, and the only reason I'm saying this is because generally what my drafting philosophy is, I go running back.
Yeah.
And if I am having Todd Gurley as my running back too, that's fine with me. I'm fine with, because of the volume. He saw so much volume last year, and Lance Dunbar is already out of his way. I do like Malcolm Brown, but I don't think he's going to be stepping on the field over Todd Gurley. So where's the competition for snaps? So volume base, you're already confident he's going to be a running back too from week to week. And if this offensive line has made any steps forward for him, that's just icing on the cake.
I mean, he was fifth in attempts, and let's see where he is in yardage. He was fifth in attempts and 17th in yards, 885. Wow. I mean, you have fifth in attempts. You got to be top 12. I need you top 12. That's just – and I don't see anything changing for him. His yards per carry were a measly – let's see where he is. All the way down here.
You don't even see his catches improving with Lance Dunbar out of the way?
Yes. No. Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. I see his catches improving.
Well, because Benny Cunningham's gone too, and Cunningham was the one coming in on doing the third down work and 2-minute work for that offense last year, and they shipped him out too. So there really is it's just Gurley, and like you said, some practice squad guys and stuff from last year that might be able to pop up. And
I'm sorry to interrupt. I found them. 67th.
Oh, Harry.
67. He's behind Damian Williams. He's in between Damian Williams and Jeremy Langford.
Where's Tim on that list? Is Tim above Todd Gurley on that list?
Tim is 70th. So you're catching up to Todd Gurley there, Tim. But no, I was
running behind the Rams offensive line too.
Well, I think Eric Flowers is actually above Todd Gurley on that list.
You guys just want to piss me off today. But if you're looking at the ADP, Todd Gurley's going ahead of Leonard Fournette. Who would you rather have, Todd Gurley or Leonard Fournette?
Todd Gurley.
Yeah. I want Fournette. I want Fournette, damn it. Todd Gurley.
I can very quickly be wrong. By week two, we'll know who's right and who's wrong on that one, because I think that Fournette is going to either start fast or it's just going to be a bad year for the Jags.
All right, Marshawn Lynch at 305 or Todd Gurley at 208?
Todd Gurley.
Gurley, yeah.
No. Yeah.
Wrong.
I'm not excited about Gurley, but the workload is just absolutely guaranteed.
No.
What do you mean no? It is.
Yeah.
You guys are wrong.
He's in the range, though, with like Lamar Miller, right? Like, you're not excited about these guys, but they're in an offense that with a good defense that hopefully can keep them in games. The workload's going to be there. The touchdown upside's non-existent. Todd Gurley will not have double-digit touchdowns.
Oh, no, that's not.
Book it. Like, that's not going to happen. But he could get 40, 45 receptions, another 250, 275 carries, and that makes him useful, especially in the running back two conversation.
All I got to say is
those drops are fantastic.
Frank soundboard.
Yeah. I am not. Listen, he already he had 55 targets last year. He had 55 targets last year. He had 43 receptions, 327 yards, and zero touchdowns, three drops. And his fantasy points in PPR, let's see where he was in fantasy points, because that's really what matters. His fantasy points, I'm sure maybe he is a top.
I think he's 18th or something last year. I bet he was 18th.
You're really making that PFF Elite package work.
I love it.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Hey, listen, if they want to sponsor us, right?
Hell yes.
Hit us up.
Elite next year, and we're all about
it. That's all we need for an entire year.
This thing is the goatest. Like I said, I got to give credit to Warren Sharp and that 2017 football preview. Amazing. And this PFF Elite is goat. It is literally just...
Bad news to everyone listening to the podcast. Frank's analysis is going to go down the tube somewhere in October when the PFF subscription runs out.
No, I got it throughout the whole year. I got it until June next year.
Sweet. So we're good at least until June next year. And then we'll have to re-up. Maybe they'll sponsor us. Yeah, by then we'll be ready to go and get free PFF Elite going into next season. So before we close up the NFC West, I want to ask you guys, similar to the AFC West question, who's the best group of receivers? If all other things being equal, which group of receivers do you guys want out of the NFC West?
Seahawks?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, seriously, who these wide receivers? Seahawks, because I like Doug Baldwin. I think he's the highest rated or my highest ranked wide receiver out of the four teams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jimmy Graham, CJ Pro Goat.
Goat Sice.
No, I mean, it's not the Rams.
No, I'm holding out hope on John Brown. If he can somehow manage to be healthy, I really like John Brown. And then Fitzgerald is good, but I think you're right. I think it is the Seahawks, but I thought it was interesting just because receivers in this division are not good.
They're not.
Michael Floyd's not still in Arizona.
Oh,
that makes them better. They're better without him.
They're better without him, bro.
Better without him.
Speaking of which, Michael Floyd, Treadwell is off the radar in redraft. Don't even know Laquan Treadwell, because if Michael Floyd is getting run with that team, just ship Treadwell down the road. Maybe future seasons he'll put it together on a new team or something. But I'm done with Treadwell.
Don't do it. Adam Thielen.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love Adam Thielen. Love it.
A couple championships last year.
All right, so that closes out our divisional breakdown for today. I want to get to some more exciting news. We have Fantasy Tilt T-shirts. These things are hot, ready to go, fresh off the press. They are on the website, dynastyhappyhour.com. Click on gear. You'll find the Fantasy Tilt T-shirts on there. They are they're $19, but we are making a donation for everyone that's purchased. We're making a donation to Alzheimer's research. That is something that has affected some of us. I know that Tim has a family member who has dealt with Alzheimer's. So we want to make those donations. We're doing something to give back, and then obviously you guys get a sweet shirt out of it. These are the same shirts. If you have the DHH shirts, they're super soft, premium shirts. And I'm excited to get mine. Should be coming any day now, and I'll be repping that. So those are pretty sweet. Want to make sure you check those out. And that's pretty much going to do it for the week. Unless you guys have anything to add, I'll do the outro and we'll get out of here.
No, I just want to say thank you. This is awesome to be able to donate to such a great cause. My father actually has Alzheimer's. He's only 62 years old, and he's been working through it. He's in the very late stages of Alzheimer's right now. We're donating $5 to Hilarity for Charity. That's Seth Rogen's foundation that he actually helps support Alzheimer's research. So this is something that's very near to me and so many other people out there. So please buy. Please, if you're not going to buy, maybe you could at least donate to the cause. I understand not everyone has extra money just laying around. So if you do want to still support Hilarity for Charity, go ahead and make a donation to them directly and support what they're doing there for Alzheimer's research.
Absolutely. If there's one thing that the fantasy football community is good, is we're giving back to the community. Obviously, Scott Fish has been at the forefront of that, of, you know, driving the community towards, you know, giving back and being productive, a game that we love, and we can always, you know, take part of it and give back, which is a good thing. So we'll tweet out the link for the shirts. It'll come from our Twitter account, which is at DHH Fantasy Tilt. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are under the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast feed. So you subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour, and we will just slide into your pocket every Thursday morning, late Wednesday night, depending on when we get this out. You can follow each of us. We're at, you can follow Frank at Dynasty Frank. Tim is at Tim NFL, and my name is Keaton. I am at Keaton Benlay on Twitter. Make sure you follow us. Get those questions in. We'll love to do a mailbag segment on the show. We'll see you guys next week.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.